Good evening. We're going to begin a study tonight of the prison epistles. Four letters written by the Apostle Paul from his first imprisonment in the city of Rome. They are Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. And we'll study them together. And I would encourage you to read them over the next few days and weeks, and read them together because he will talk about some similar themes. And I believe the books were written, some of them just almost exactly the same time and maybe a little space between some, but he writes them together. So the themes are very much the same. What's on Paul's mind is very much the same. And you kind of get, by reading all four of those letters, you kind of get what's going on in Paul's mind. Tonight we're going to talk about the letter to Philemon. It is a personal letter. It is short. It's the shortest of Paul's letters that we have that's been preserved for us. It's written somewhere around 60 or 61 A.D., so 20 some odd years after Christ, almost 30, but not quite 30 years after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul has been on his missionary journeys through Asia Minor, but we don't know that he's ever been to Colossae, and that's where Philemon is. We have a letter that's going to be written to the church at Colossae, the Colossian letter, written and delivered at the same time, but we have this letter written to Philemon and to the church that meets in his house. So Philemon is a slave owner, and the church is meeting in his house. His wife seems to be prominent, and we believe that his son is the minister at the church that meets in Philemon's house. The letter is delivered by Tychicus and Philemon, and Onesimus, who is the runaway slave, whose name means useful. Tychicus will deliver other of the letters, but we know that Philemon is from Colossae from the fourth chapter of the Colossian letter, beginning at verse 7. Tychicus, now this is not Philemon, this is Colossians, written at the same time, delivered at the same time by the same individuals. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. So, who's he writing to? The Colossians. And who is one of them? Onesimus, the runaway slave, is one of the Colossians. So we know where he came from. Colossae had been a prominent city by the time of Paul. It had lost some of its prominence. It's not very far from Ephesus or from Laodicea. And again, we don't know that Paul was there, but it's an area where the cities would not have been very far apart in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, where people could have traveled from place to place. So let's read the letter that Paul writes to Philemon, whose slave has run away and has come in contact with Paul. We're not sure how he finds Paul in Rome. Again, we don't know of them being together, but it may have been very much that Philemon had come to see Paul in Ephesus when Paul was there. Onesimus might have been a slave that came with him, or because the church met in Philemon's house, Onesimus was familiar with them, but somehow in the city of Rome, they come in contact with each other. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Now, obviously, they know each other, right? They've had some contact. Because he's not just a fellow worker, but what else is he? He's a dear friend. He is writing to our dear friend. And to Apphia, our sister. It's Scholars believe this is Philemon's wife, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Again, Philemon's son. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. A real encouragement as he writes to Philemon. And Paul doesn't write these words in all of his letters, and scholars do not believe, nor do I, that these are just a vain greeting. But Paul is writing words of encouragement to a man for whom he has a great respect and who has the reputation of having a love for God's people. And that's important to remember. I mean, here he is, a good man. Now, there's something very interesting here that we'll talk about a little more later, because we'll see this theme in the letters of in the prison epistles of Paul. But there would be a lot of folks arguing, well, what do you mean this man is a good man? He's got slaves. It is estimated that in the first century, there were as many as 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. That's unbelievable, isn't it? 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire were not human. They were property, okay? They were property, which meant they could be bought and sold, and that the owner had complete control over the slaves. One could abuse a slave, one could kill a slave, and it was not murder. It was really not much different than the way we treat a claw hammer, just to give you something. I mean, it seems hard for us to imagine, but that was kind of the rights that a slave had. They were just tools to be used. But what we're going to see in this and the other of Paul's letters is that he realizes, or appears to realize, that the message of Jesus is going to change the world. Because if, in fact, Paul is going to see, or Philemon is going to see now, that this is not just a tool, because Paul is going to be very expressed, I want you to receive him back as a brother. And that Christianity, when it breaks down the barriers between individuals and the caste system and the prejudices that individuals then would change in their relationships. There are critics of the New Testament and of the Apostle Paul who says, you know, well, why didn't he leave for their emancipation? Well, guess what would have happened if he'd started encouraging 60 million people to leave? I mean, what would have happened? They would have been murdered is what would have happened to a lot of them. I mean, practically, it wasn't time for a rebellion. But Christianity began to change the attitudes toward the way people were treated. That here, don't take the slave back and mistreat him or abuse him, but accept him back as a brother. And we'll see that in just a moment. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I can tell you to do this, but I'm not ordering you to do this. I'm asking you to do this as an act of love that you have exhibited. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ. It's different than Paul normally addresses. Usually it is, I, Paul, an apostle, is how Paul will address in the letters. But he is imprisoned, but he is, Paul now, a prisoner of Christ. And it is this is an appeal of friendship, and one where you see Paul may be a little discouraged, if you will, because not so much his own circumstance, but we're going to see Paul's frustration. I believe it's the Philippian letter where we'll really see it. Paul's frustration with, I really want to be about God's work. And it's not that I hate so much being in prison, although that had to be an unpleasant thing, even though we believe Paul was under a house arrest. But it was, there is so much work among the churches I need to do that I can't do. I am a prisoner when I should be out, or would like, not should be, but would like to be out and about God's business. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. What does that mean? Paul taught Onesimus the gospel, and he became a Christian. You know, I was in this bondage, and Onesimus came to me, and he now has become a Christian. He is my son in the gospel. His name, what did I tell you his name meant? Useful. It is a play on words. His name means useful. And what did Paul say Onesimus formerly was? Useless. He was useless to you. Why? Maybe he wasn't a good worker. We don't know. He certainly was looking for an opportunity to escape. It appears that he stole something when he left. But now he's become, he who was formerly useless, now has become useful both to you and to me, and I am sending to you him to you who is my very heart back to you. Paul has become very fond of Onesimus. Onesimus has helped Paul, but he is sending him back to Philemon. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place and helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I do not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. I could have kept him. I know if you could, you'd be here helping me. You can't. I could have kept him, but I want whatever you do to be voluntary. I don't want to force you to that. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might save him back for good. No longer that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave. Now here's the conversation. He was a slave. And maybe Philemon was good to him. Because like in every culture, there are those who mistreated slaves and those who were better to him. But here's the conversation that Paul has. Because I'm sending Onesimus back. How does Paul look at him? He's my son, right? I love him. He is a slave, but Paul is about treating him with respect. He has an affection for him and does not see him just as property, but sees him as a person in need of what? In need of God. But you might have him back for good. No longer is a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. This slave is coming back to you, but as what? As a brother. As a brother. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture. I think there is some humor, some wit in Paul's writing this. It appears from the writing this that, one, he stole some value of the work that he could have done, but probably stole something from him that allowed him to get to Rome. Okay? He's got to travel to get to Rome. And he's got to survive. So we don't know what he stole. Did he steal some money? Did he steal some implements? We don't know. But whatever he owes you, charge it to my account, Paul says. But remember this, you owe me your very life. Very likely that Paul had taught Philemon the gospel at some point in their being together. Remember, you owe me your very life. There's a really important part of this passage. Because really here, the Apostle Paul is exemplifying exactly what Christ has done for us. Right? Do you see it in the passage? Paul says, what Onesimus owes, I will pay. Whatever he owes, the debt he owes, I will pay. Is that not what Christ did for us? That the debt we owed, Christ paid. The debt had to be paid. and Jesus paid it for us. And Paul is saying, whatever Onesimus owes, I will pay for him. Christ paid the debt. We even sang a song, don't we? There was a debt I could not pay. He didn't owe it, but he paid it. Paul says, the debt Onesimus owes, I will pay. There's something interesting here. We see that Christianity is going to make a difference in the way men treat other men. That while Paul doesn't come out and condemn slavery, he begins the process of which Christianity does, that not only does it break down the barriers between a slave owner and a slave, but Christianity will talk about that slave owners remember what? You work for God. God is over you. So the way you treat others, remember God is watching you. And what Christianity actually says to slaves is to do what? To work harder. To work for your master as if you're working for God. And there is going to be a breakdown in the barriers between a master and a slave, between a Jew and a Greek, between men and women, that those barriers are going to break, and that Christ and the love of Christ was going to permeate all of our relationships. Are we still different? When I say that, yeah, there are differences in men and women, right? People from different cultures and countries are different, but are we all one in Christ? Yes. Do we all have value? And so how must we treat each other? With love and respect and dignity and compassion. To love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so we begin to see people as brothers and sisters, not as slaves or enemies. And you see that so much in this passage that Paul writes. That's very practical. And here's something else that Christianity did then and Christianity does now. It doesn't allow us to run away from our past or from our problems or from our mistakes. But it empowers us with the ability to go back and face them and overcome them. Paul doesn't say, Onesimus, you did wrong, but let's just go on from here and forget it. Paul says, you got to go back to Philemon. Now, I'm going to help you. And Christianity, Christ paid the price. Christianity helped. Paul says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to write this letter for you. But you've still got to go back and face him and face your past. And that is difficult to do, isn't it? Confession of what we've done wrong is difficult. Making things right is difficult. We normally want to forget it and move on. We need to move past it, but we have to make things right. And Paul says, Onesimus, you're going to, I'd love to keep you, but I'm going to send you back to Philemon. And you're going to face what you've done. Now, Philemon, I want you to accept him back no longer as a slave, but as a brother. And Onesimus, you're going to be useful to him, where you had been useless. You had been less than valuable. You're going to bring value. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. I like to read what others write about people in the Scripture, what God says about people. But what about this passage? I've got confidence in you, Philemon, that you'll do the right thing and you'll do even more than I ask you to do. Philemon is a man of character. And Paul knows it. Paul knows that Philemon is a man of character. What kind of men and women are we? What do people think about us? What do people know about us? Are we going to do the right thing? Are we going to do what we're obligated or expected or ought to do? Or are we going to fall through and not do what we need to do or commit to do or obligate to do or what the right thing is? Because all of those can happen, right? There's some people just aren't going to do right. And some people who won't do right, but they never get about doing it. There's always some reason they can't do it. But here's a man who Paul says, I know you'll do it and you'll do the right thing and you'll do even more than I ask of you. Are we finished? And one thing more. Where's Paul? Remember, it's important. He's in prison. And Paul says, and one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, and we believe, and we'll see Epaphras in the Colossian letter, probably brought news to Paul of what was going on, and he lets him know, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Dr. Luke, my fellow workers. And we'll see those names again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Look at those names because you'll see them in the other letters. I'd encourage you to read them and read the thoughts as you read those other letters about what Paul writes to the Philippians, what he writes to the Colossians and to the Ephesians. And think about, one, he's in prison. Look at the thought as you read those, and I do encourage you to do some homework. Don't just come next Sunday night. I'll give you some more information, but I want you to read through it. Think about, he's sending this letter back with a slave, and there's slavery all around him. He's going to see misuse and abuse, and he's probably going to be sensitive to it because he's what? A prisoner. Wouldn't that make you probably more sensitive? I mean, you got to think of where people are. What circumstance are they in life? He's not free. But read those letters as he talks about Christ being through all and in all, and see kind of a thread that runs through about the love that we have for one another, and that Jesus and the teachings of Christ, the difference they make in people's lives. Paul says to Philemon, if Onesimus owes you anything, charge it to me and I'll pay it. That's what Jesus said. You had a debt. And I'll pay it. If you need to respond, do that while we stand and sing.